This past week, I met Lee Stack, president of the Chinatown Improvement District in Chinatown. Her group was one of those drawing attention to a proposed homeless triage center that was planned on Beritania Street. That proposal by the Institute for Human Services and the city has been withdrawn due to community opposition. But Stack says the conditions that have the Chinatown community up in arms are still there.
I think when I first sort of located my business here and came down, probably in 2000, I would see homeless people and they would be in doorways or sleeping and sometimes they'd be drunk. But it's changed over time, and I think now you see a much more people who have drug problems, people acting erratically. I didn't used to see that before. People would be passed out somewhere, but not threatening people, not acting erratically, not screaming and yelling.
What worries you for Chinatown now then?
Well, I think especially over near River of Life, in that area where a lot of the services have been located and Housing First units are there, they see it and I hear from those people, and it's really a struggle for them to do business there, to have a stake there, to even have a say there, really. You know, these things are put in really without asking them or consulting them. I think that tends to happen a lot, you know. I wish people would work with the community earlier, because people in the community have ideas. I mean, they care as much about this community as anybody.
What are some actionable ideas that you all have been tossing around?
Well, the complaint from people around the neighborhood at River of Life is social distancing, people line up, people get stabbed in the lines. You know, they have no control over the people who are there, so they don't really, I think, see them as their clients. Not like a restaurant where you're responsible sort of for your customers. So one thing we did suggest, which was to put more of the cost on the people providing the services, is that maybe they take out a street permit for the feedings, for the lunches, and then they would have police there, because when you close a road, you have to have police monitoring. So they could police social distance. They would pick up the trash. They would be responsible for that, for any noise, for the people within the closure, just as they are here on First Fridays and other street closures, because they are servicing a lot of people, and it has come up that the costs are being sort of extrapolated out into the community. The trash, the screaming, the fighting, the crime, all the things that go with it. They open their doors, they feed, they close their doors. They're difficult problems. These are difficult problems. I'm not saying they're easy, and it might be easy to sit in a tower somewhere on Bishop Street, but, you know, for people facing these issues on a day-to-day basis and trying to survive with a business and hire people, and yes, I mean, I think everybody feels for people who don't have housing and who are struggling.
So of businesses in your Hui, how are they doing?
We've heard concerns, you know, from people. We've heard talk about reductions in rent, and people have been reducing rent. So I only know of maybe one person who's moving out, but they've been in business for 30-some years, and it's maybe time to close anyway. So I think people are cautiously hopeful. That's what I would say.
I mean, is there any hope for art in this neighborhood, Lee?
I think there is. I really like it as a diverse neighborhood that has a little bit of everything. I was a little leery when the artists started trying to speak for the whole neighborhood, and I did hear that. That was one reason our group formed, because I think people have different histories, needs, wants. So I think there needs to be a balance. But yes, I think Chinatown, over its history, has been very welcoming to all different groups, you know, and all small businesses. But I am not so keen maybe on central planning of Chinatown. It needs to be like this, or it needs to be like that. I'd like all this sort of diversity, a little bit of the grit. It makes it real. Some of the individual businesses over time, these are family businesses. I mean, these are generational businesses, like Char Hung Sut. These are businesses that own their own property. They definitely have a stake in the neighborhood, and they have created part of the culture of this neighborhood. So that's why we think it's important that these businesses are listened to for things like bulb outs, for things, other things that come up in the neighborhood. And unfortunately, I think what's happened is people in general try to speak for Chinatown or think they know what's best for Chinatown. And I really think it's these stakeholders. It's these people who have created this neighborhood, they're the ones who make it special. Yeah, and the herbs and the apothecary shops, I mean, and the lay shops. I mean, they're one of the most traditional vendors probably here, because this is where everybody used to come to get their lays. But there is, I think people have thought over time, there is this concentration of services in the area. And I think one thing we're worried about is lack of transparency, lack of accountability. From what we understood, the Punavai rest stop has a second and third floor and was allocated $20 million that have not been built out for a triage center and temporary accommodations for people. So why is something else being proposed, you know, again in Chinatown when there's that facility that's unfinished? Are the neighborhoods better off than they were, say, 7 years ago? I mean, are things better off? And I think most people would say no. If you look at all the services that have been expended and put here, and people were told this will help, this will take people off the street, you know, that hasn't happened. I mean, they put, I believe, one reason they have the hygiene center there so they can have a public restroom. In Chinatown, there's a public restroom, and yet people defecate everywhere. I mean, it's more so than before. So where's the disconnect? You have to ask yourself, I mean, is the public restroom working, or is something else needed? That's where we're thinking maybe more intervention. I mean, people should not be defecating in public, right? It's against the law. That's why I also say more accountability. What's working?
So what we'd hear at the neighborhood board is the city would get up and say, well, they're resistant to services. Like, there's nothing we can do. And so finally I got up and I said, well, then what's the plan? I mean, if they're resistant to services, what's the next step?
Well, what's the answer there?
They didn't have one. But finally, somebody came up with ACT. If it's working or not, I don't know. Then there was the SMART program, and I'm like, that sounds a lot like LEAD.
LEAD, L-E-A-D, ACT, A-C-T. There are programs at work in Chinatown, and we're going to learn more about them. Lee Stack, president of the Chinatown Improvement District. She was there at the Downtown Chinatown Neighborhood Board meeting last night. Pretty interesting. Connie Mitchell, executive director of the Institute for Human Services, was there. She said definitively, in response to community opposition, they are calling off a search for space in Chinatown. Also at that meeting, Dean Sakamoto of Shade Architects. He announced they're seeking a grant to apply an artist's perspective to some of Chinatown's challenges this summer. And work does continue on the venerable Wofat building. Bar on the ground floor, boutique hotel above. That's the plan. I've been wanting to meet Chulan Schubert Kwok, president of the Chinatown Business and Community Association, for years. She was on the Honolulu Liquor Commission for 9 years, currently serves on the Downtown Chinatown Neighborhood Board, and she is the primary conduit for feedback from many of Chinatown's business people. She's got connections with the immigrant businesses. Kwok's favorite place to meet is Jackie's Macau on Hotel, just Eva of the police station.
Chulan, describe to me what it's like in Chinatown right now.
Hellhole. It's a hellhole. Who wants to be walking down being afraid? Look at this. I was attacked twice.
What's
so
that?
This is a pepper spray that I have to carry and a whistle because I don't know at any time anybody will attack you or purse snatch or whatever. It's very dangerous in Chinatown. We will hurt our business by saying that. But we have to tell the truth and let people know when they come in. Be very aware of your purse. Be very aware of your surrounding because we have unstable people around us. They may fantasize that you're harming them and they attack you.
Chinatown was the first place that felt the effects of COVID-19.
Yes.
And it was even before the virus came to
Hawaii. That's right. We have an escalation of homeless people by more than 30% in the last 2 months. Everywhere I see new faces coming from elsewhere.
And did business drop though before?
Oh, we have no more business.
When did it all start? The business problems and the...
It's been years. The last 1.5 years we were doing things to improve. Then COVID hit us in February and March. So March and April, we were dead. There were only a few stores open. You're only allowed to... Grocery stores are allowed. Only one allowed to open. Restaurant open, they've got lots of restaurants, right? And then one closed already, 88 Happy Day closed already. And the city didn't do the right thing by Chinatown. Three of the worst thing they ever did, they put in the bulb out. So people cannot bulb out. B-U-L-B, like bulb.
Bulb outs, the,
yeah.
The pedestrian.
Right, I'm sorry, right. This mask is making it hard to.
I know, exactly.
When we did the Chinatown Summit study, the number one problem in Chinatown was homelessness and drug crime, bathroom. Not pedestrian safety. We don't have hardly any big pedestrian death in Chinatown because people are forced to slow down because it's a narrow street. So when the city got a bunch of money for complete streets, they decided this is the thing to do. They never consult with the community. They put out the pop up. We put up a big fight, got over 8,000 signatures in petition. They ignored us. Then, before Mother's Day, the week before, they put up the big spike. They were supposed to be for 90 day.
Pilot project?
Yes. And then it's been 2.5 years.
But those tall standing poles have been standing.
Yeah, they put in these truncheons and then they painted the 7 feet by 7 feet on each corner.
Right. And this
brown.
Was supposedly
shorten
safe
the crosswalk. Shorten the crosswalk between the traffic lights for pedestrians. These are the places that we need to use to park. We said city, Chinatown is a special historic district. It was born small. We have to go with what our businesses need and our cultural and historical context. So why can't we reclassify these as community stop and go? Makes a lot of sense. Everybody can use it for a few minutes and go. Like what? You pick up Manapua, pick up Leh, 5-10 minutes, because then what the city did, they allow Biki Bike to take on 3-2 parking stalls and not pay. And then they allow, you can rent Surf Coast car in Chinatown. So the city, instead of helping Chinatown, in the first place, their garages are not safe. Broken lights, smelly, dungeon-like, some with no elevator. You wouldn't want to go park in there. So street parking become very important. Guess what? Last July, the city increased it to $3 for every hour. Yeah, instead of 75 cents. Is that helping Chinatown? And the next thing was we have a garbage issue, out of control. The city didn't allow more people to sign in to garbage pickup because of union bargaining. Because we don't have loading zone, we don't have commercial parking for these tall vehicles. They have nowhere to go, right? So you're forcing people to do illegal things. Deaf ear, they don't take care of this. They don't consult with the people that live and work here that know the problem. They're the city, the bureaucracy, this is what we want to do, and then they stage a public hearing at a time when nobody can go, and they just pass muster legally. But right now, River Life is giving out free food right now, and also boxes of stuff that are donated. So you see all the people in the warehouse getting it. 3 meals a day, and you can sit anywhere you like. You can get access to drugs and alcohol. Why wouldn't they love it? We're tired of being the center of homelessness. We are tired. We are a business and historic cultural district. Why don't they go to Kahala or Diamond Head, huh? Why don't they go to Hawaii Kai? Why is that? Why not Kaka'ako? Why all chase them over here? Because these folks that we have are afraid to speak up. They don't want retribution. Many of these windows have been broken. See that one?
How many of Chinatown businesses do you think are going to survive this COVID shutdown?
I think we're going to lose a third of them easily. If the landlords are not going to hold off rent, do something, because how can you survive? You've been here an hour, 2 customers, and you're dealing with perishables. Your aircon has to go on, your electric has to go on, you got to pay your water bill, you got to pay your taxes, your insurance. How far can you go? It's mom and pop business. Get up at 3 o'clock like this, open at 5. Like some of the restaurants here, very upscale, they're doing well because they're getting the wealthy trade to come and eat novelty in Chinatown, exotic. But these people don't live and work here. We have some very expensive restaurants in Chinatown. They're doing well because they have rich clientele, right? But now they're closed too.
Who are the people who are running these businesses? Tell me about those people.
Like Mr. and Mrs. Lee, like immigrant or first generation, mostly first generation, are trying to make a better life for their kids, trying to pay their bills.
What do you think the costs are for a business?
Keka Liki Mall, each vegetable store is $5,000 a month. Manukya Marketplace, each stall is $3,500 and up. So when you buy a dollar bag of grocery, how much are they making? No? On a good day, they make a wage. They maybe make $2,000 per themselves per month. If we lose them, we lose Canada. Already, we lost a lot of business. Farmers Market took a lot of business from Chinatown, and the rent is still high in Chinatown. And then you go to Kalihi, old city square. They took away a lot of business too. So with all of these things against Chinatown, with the government and the city administration not caring. They don't even repair their own buildings, okay? They keep starting new projects.
Hey, Chuan, I mean, do you think there's any hope for art in Chinatown?
That would be the best thing, but you see any art around?
Do you think art could really help in this situation?
We tried to paint our sidewalks to make art so that people don't graffiti our walls and stuff. But then we don't have the funding to do it.
Have you ever tried working with like Arts at Mark's Garage or Sandy Pole or any of those?
Art has died because it didn't, in fact, like Mark's Garage is in a very bad way. They have a new director. And then Hawaii Theater has a new director. They're all in a bad way because the money for art has shrunken up. But art, when they were doing it, they were using every little excuse to call it art, right? Somebody spitting onto a canvas is art. I mean, I love art. My feet stomping on something, I call it art. You cannot sustain that kind of art. That is maybe having fun, right, with paint, but that is not real art. I think it goes too far. And then people can see that it's not really something they can learn or something that has any long-lasting impact. Like the mural right now on Smith Street is very nice. On the wall of Lucky Belly, that's nice. Those nice murals, we say art.
Do you think that partnerships, though, with the bars and clubs is important for the overall?
If they are sincere in truly looking at the big vision of Chinatown, not for their quick profits. If they have a true, passionate, sincere mission.
I want to ask you, Chulan, what is your dream for Chinatown? What could Chinatown be?
Open 24 hours. Have business and night market, have people come and always be the place to go, like the old San Francisco, you know? You can always trust it to be safe, open, celebratory, lots of restaurants. It's a place to entertain and to live our history and culture.
The lay shops all open,
yeah,
the clubs, Hawaiian music.
Hours. I just want it properly run, follow the law, and don't cheat. Very simple. That's all.
Chulan Schubert Kwok, co-founder and president of the Chinatown Business and Community Association. We've got to take an architectural tour of Honolulu's Chinatown sometime very soon.